الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم لقد كان لكم في رسول الله أسوة حسنة لمن كان يرجو الله واليوم الآخر وقال تعالى في مقام آخر ألف لام ميم أحسب الناس أن يتركوا أن يقولوا آمنا وهم لا يفتنون ولقد فتنا الذين من قبلهم وليعلمن الله الذين صدقوا وليعلمن الكاذبين وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم من أحب سنتي فقد أحبني ومن أحبني كان معي في الجنة أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. My most respected elders and brothers, this is a great ni'mat and a bounty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah ta'ala has blessed us with the auspicious and mubarak month of Rabiul Awwal. This is the first Jumu'ah of the month of Rabiul Awwal. And obviously it is most appropriate and suitable that we discuss some aspects of the seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and I will highlight some very important, you know, points, and I want inshallah that we try and pay careful attention to what my message is for this afternoon. This is an opportunity for us, my respected brothers, for us to re-look at ourselves. Every time when the month of Rabiul Awwal comes, or some auspicious and mubarak month comes, like whether it's Muharram or it is a month of Ramadan, etc., especially the month of Rabiul Awwal should be connecting us with the seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. There are some very pertinent and important questions that you and I have to ask ourselves. And one, firstly, is what is my relationship with the seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, with the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? What is my link with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Allah Ta'ala has, you know, blessed us that we have been born in the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. No amount of shukr is sufficient for this very great ni'mat and bounty. Allah Ta'ala tells us in the Quran, لَقَدْ مَنَّ اللَّهُ عَلَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ لَقَدْ مَنَّ اللَّهُ عَلَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. It is a very great favor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon the believers. Is بَعْثَ فِيهِمْ رَسُولًا مِّنْ أَنفُسِهِمْ, that Allah Ta'ala blessed us with a Nabi from amongst ourselves, from a humankind. Allah Ta'ala blessed when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came amongst the Arabs, that those people that at that particular time, they were the most downtrodden people. Such people that even, you know, the Persian and the Roman empires used to say that we don't even rule, even our slaves won't want to rule on these people. That was the darkness in which Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, was born. And over a period of so many years of effort, alhamdulillah, 23 years of effort, we can see how Allah Ta'ala spread the deen of Islam, and being the final deen and the nusrat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in other ayats of the Quran, Allah Ta'ala, you know, tells us that this kuffar, you know, they want to extinguish the light and nur of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the light of Iman, the light of the Quran, the light of Islam. They want to extinguish it. But Wallahu mutimmu nurihi walau karihal kafirun. Despite the fact that these people will want to extinguish the nur of the light of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the light of the Quran, hidayat and guidance, nobody will be able to extinguish it. And no matter how much of effort will be made in trying to destroy the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah Ta'ala will make it reach perfection. Allah Ta'ala made it reach perfection with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam when he revealed those ayats ইন্দ হজ্জাতুল বিদা আল ইয়াউমা আকমালতু লাকুম দীনাকুম ওয়া আতমামতু আলাইকুম নিয়মতি ওয়া রাদীতু লাকুমুল ইসলাম দীনা. আল্লাহ তাআলা পারফেক্টেড দ্য দীন অফ ইসলাম এন্ড গেভ ইট ইন টোটালিটি এন্ড কমপ্লিটনেস ইট রিচড এট দ্য টাইম অফ দ্যাট হজ্জাতুল বিদা. Now it is us, my dear brothers, we are how many years? 1446 years after the hijrat of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And we always speak about this at the beginning of the year when Muharram comes in, that what is the, you know, how did this Islamic calendar be formulated and how did it come about? Because there was a discussion, Sahaba made mashura amongst themselves. In fact, Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu, mention is made, he spent 1 month making istikhara and mashura with the Sahaba. So each one gave his own rai. And somebody said that no, it should be with the birth of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the starting of the calendar, because that is a link that Allah ta'ala gave us Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So his very birth, should the date of the birth of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam should be the beginning of the Islamic calendar. Somebody said, no, you know, that rai was not very much liked by Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu, because he said that it is a link with, like how these Christians have a day of celebration and they call it the Christmas day. They believe it to be the birth of Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, etc. So the connotation, he wasn't very, you know, shara sadar. He didn't have clear heart on that. Then somebody else said that it should be, some other day, the day of the revelation of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he received the first wahi, etc. So there were different rays. And amongst that, someone said that it should be the birth of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. One ray was that it should be the hijrat. And that was the ray that was accepted by Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu. My point being that Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu made istikhara for 1 month. And then they came to the decision that it should be actually the hijrat of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So we, my dear brothers, have to ask ourselves that now it is a month of Rabiul Awwal. There will be many programs and there will be a lot of, you know, hype and discussion, and there will be a lot of, messages that will go about, etc. But we need to sit down for a while, take a step back and reflect and contemplate and ask ourselves certain questions that we need to ask ourselves, which is pertinent, related to ourselves. Sometimes we look at everything else, you know, from somebody else's eye, or how it affects somebody else, etc. You know, I remember one person, he was saying that, I removed myself from the messages of the janaza notice. He said, I was starting to become depressed, because every time I'm seeing the messages, especially in that COVID time, you know, people were becoming affected by what they were seeing. But the reality of it is that one day our own message will also go out. So similarly, we have this tendency and this weakness that we look at everybody else. One person, one janaza was passing by. So somebody asked, whose janaza is this? And that person who was like a wali, he said that it is your janaza. And if you feel bad, then it's my janaza. So he said, what you mean? Can you explain to me? And he said that every janaza that is passing by, it is a reflection and it is a time for us to reflect that it one day will be my own janaza that will be passing by. What you worried about whose janaza it is? Look at what this man is in front of you, that he is now unable to do anything for himself. He has to be bathed, he has to be kafan, he has to be put clothing on, he can't even choose the temperature of the water that he is being bathed with. And people wash him and they clothe him and then they carry him and they take him. So it's a time of reflection. Time of reflection. Whilst we are on that point, my dear brothers, I think it's important for me to mention what I'm going to tell you now. One of the brothers who gives this janaza, you know, who gives this ghusl when a person passes away, so he was telling me and exchanging with me some things. And I think it's important for us to reflect upon what he brought to my attention. And many people who are involved in this work, they will know about it. He told me that sadly, unfortunately, firstly, many of us, we don't keep our documents properly. So after a person passes away, now everybody is looking, where's the ID document, and where's this document, and where's that document. Our deen teaches us to be very meticulous, especially with regard to our documentation. must be very meticulous. So that's one of the points that I want to bring to your notice. But more importantly than that, he brought to my attention that he has noticed that a lot of people, they're not cleansing and cleaning themselves and keeping themselves properly parked and clean. And he was referring to the removal of the unwanted hair in our body. Sometimes the hair under the armpits, sometimes in the private areas, etc. Many people are becoming neglectful, or they are becoming, can I say, complacent in regards to this matter. From the ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we should try to remove it, be clean and park, and be, it's not that you are napak, but you should try and keep yourself cleansed at least once a week. And if you find it difficult, then maybe once in 2 weeks. But it comes that there is some mumaniyat in our hadith with regard to leaving the hair growth for more than 40 days. And we need to teach this to our children. You know, sometimes we feel shy, you know, to talk about these things with our young. Our wives should be talking to the, our ladies about it. I mean, if it's in prevalent in the men, I don't want to go and ask somebody what's been the condition on the other side. But we have to be reflectful of this. Some people think that, no, somebody else, you're not even allowed to cut the fingernails of a deceased person. You're not allowed to do that. So somebody might be thinking that, you know, somebody will remove my hair if I pass away in this condition. Our previous people were so conscientious and very cautious about this matter. He told me that it is being neglected in these days, and he has noticed that many people like have a don't care attitude, or they don't give it much thought and reflection over this. So these are practical things. So I was saying about the seerah, that we need to link ourselves, ask ourselves in this month of Rabiul Awwal, what is my link with the Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? What is my attachment with the seerah? If we have an attachment, my dear brothers, we have to go back to basics. This very matter that I discussed with you, if you look at the seerah and the lifestyle of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, there is not an aspect that has been left out from the seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. There's one book, it's called Siratul Mustafa. One is the history book that we need to, you know, take and read this kitab. And there's another kitab where Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his uswa, his doings, is a whole kitab by Dr. Abdul Hay Saab, who was from Pakistan. He was a Khalifa of Hazrat Maulana Ashraf Ali Thanvi rahmatullah alayh. He wrote this kitab. It is such a magnificent book that almost every aspect relating to our life, our day-to-day life, he gives an example from the seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, from the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, so that it becomes practical for you and I to implement in our life. We are talking sometimes very, very big things, philosophical things and things that we don't understand, but the reality of it is that you and I have to ask ourselves, what is my attachment with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and how much of contact do I have with my Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam? You know, if you look at the seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and how much of love he had for the ummah, for this ummah, there's some virtues and fazilats mentioned in the kitabs with regard to the being in the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which was not your choice and my choice. This is the blessing of Allah Ta'ala that he made us in the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We could have been born in any ummah. But Allah Ta'ala chose us to be in the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That ummah that came last. You see, the Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in one hadith, he gives the example of his ummah and the previous ummah. So he said the life of the previous ummah is like, you know, a person, he, like from the time of Fajr, and he goes to work all the time right up till Zohr. So that is one ummah. How long that period of time is. Then he said there was another ummah that came, their time span and their effort and their time was like from Zohr to Asr. A bit of a shorter period of time. And he said my ummah, their example is like the ummah that is the time between Asr and Maghrib. It's a very short period of time. That is actually our lifespan. How many years are you going to live? 60 years? maybe 70 years. In the hadith it comes, the lifespan of my ummati is between 60 and 70 years. If you use 60 as an example, I mentioned this before, and my son says, you always mention the same thing, but it's a reality. If you sleep 8 hours a day for 60 years, you slept 20 years of your life. If you work 8 hours a day, if you work 8 hours a day for 60 years, you worked 20 years of your life. So 20 years gone in sleeping, 20 years gone in working. You become baligh at the age of 15. Take another 15 years of your life of 60. You've gone to 55 years. Everything else besides sleeping and besides working is in that 5 years of our life. That is why if you implement the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in a manner in which you sleep, that 8 hours of sleep is ibadat. Can you believe that, my dear brothers? You'll be sleeping, but we are sleeping in the ibadat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala if you follow the sunnah method of sleeping. Huh? We have to ask ourselves now, just take stock of ourselves, how do I sleep? How do many people sleep? Allah ta'ala safeguard. The manner in which a person sleeps, my dear brothers, sometimes death can overtake him. And the manner in which you die, kama tamutuna tuhsharun, that is a manner in which you will be raised in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So my dear brothers, let us take this month of Rabiul Awwal, let us refocus ourselves. Yes, we claim to have the love of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We have the greatest attachment with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We all want to go to Medina Park. Malana Yunus Patel rahmatullah alayhi, I heard him saying that one time, you know, some people, they say that we want to die in Medina, we want to die in Medina, we want to die. So he said that I told one person, we are there, come, let's go to the Rosa Aqdas, we'll make dua that, you know, oh Allah, now we are here in Medina, take us now, you know, give us death here. So that person said, no, Malana, not this time, next time. Yeah? See, so hakikat mein, what is the reality? Ke hamara bolna sach hai ya nahi? And the test of what we are saying lies with what we practice upon, what we make amal upon. So we have to take stock of ourselves. What is our link with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? How much Allah ta'ala tells us in the Quran that the best example is the example of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The best, the perfect example. Ulama have given bayans on this, that they have made a comparison between the action of what you do and the seerah and the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And they have proven that even scientifically it is proven that the manner in which Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam did something, they say that it is ashal, it is the easiest way of doing it, and it is the best way of doing it, and it is the most complete manner of doing something. Even scientifically it is being proven now. We don't want to prove something scientifically. We don't do it because science tells us. Huh? We don't do something because science has told us. We do something because it was taught to us by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allah ta'ala grant you and grant me the tawfiq, my dear brothers. Let us refocus our attention, our link with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Get this kitab, keep it on the side of our bed. Every night before we go to bed, let us read it. People have written kitabs, 100 forgotten sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. One sunnah you practice that it was forgotten, not done by people, they have forgotten about it. You get the sawab of 100 shaheed. 100 shaheed, what is the status of a shaheed is very high. So that person who makes amal on one sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam that was forgotten, that is not being practiced upon, the reward of that is a very multiplied. That is like that ummah that came last. They make small amal, but it is loved by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah ta'ala grant you and grant me the tawfiq. I was actually supposed to speak about some of the halat and condition in the ummah in the various parts of the world. Alhamdulillah, this evening we have a program in Palok. So brothers who want to take an interest and have an interest in that, they can attend that program. But just to say, my dear brothers, that we cannot live our life in silos. We can't live for ourselves. Just me, my wife, my family, no. The ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is a complete body. And we have to worry about what is happening around us, what is happening to our Muslim brothers and sisters in the other parts of the world, and take a concern for that and do something. Something can be done. Allah Ta'ala grant you the tawfiq, grant me the tawfiq, and give us the true love of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. and make this month of Rabiul Awwal be a month whereby this change comes into our life, that we must feel that closeness to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allah Ta'ala grant you and me the tawfiq. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillah.